welcome to another episode of The Difference. It's our weekly look at the intersection between politics and economics, how Washington affects Main Street and your street. He's Dave Spano, the president and CEO of Annex Wealth Management, joins me every week. And Dave, this week you've been calling it the Woodstock for AI. It's a, sort of a showcase of some of the new technology. All eyes are, of course, on the AI darling, which is NVIDIA. It's going to have a new chip. People want to see if that's going to be as powerful as some of the rumors are suggesting. What are you looking forward to this week?
Yeah, for sure. What NVIDIA is going to say, and other companies, Supermicrocomputer being added to the S&P 500. But as you said, these chips are coming out, Dan, and they are fantastic. They're super fast. And right now, some of these chips, you know, the internal cost they're saying is $10,000 for a chip. So probably retail is four times that, $40,000 for a chip, but they run hot. How are they going to operate these systems? Probably through water cooling. How are you going to get through that? Electricity. So these things are going to have a lot of draw for electricity, and this is going to be a big story. I know just in my neighborhood alone this past weekend, we have a generator, but again, the community was out without power again. So imagine if that is a widespread brownouts. You know, we've talked to utility companies before, and this is a story. There's no question about it. So as AI gets hooked up, you know, how does that have an effect on everyone's life? There's no question that's going to happen. And it kind of ties in a little bit to the story that happened this past week, where we saw the National Association of Realtors settle an agreement that said they were price fixing their commission. So I think all these stories can conflate together, Dan.
Yeah, I think so, too, because there's a non-zero chance that real estate, the entire concept of home buying and home selling, is an automated process in the near future. I mean, just look at the success of apps like Zillow. Mm-hmm. I mean, most people who are buying houses, their first check is they get alerts from Zillow every day. Now you don't need to pay real estate agents 6% commissions. I know there are—
And there's voyeurs, some, by the way. There's just going through Zillow and saying, hey, look, what's that house? I mean, it happens all the time.
I'm one of them too. I like to kind of keep tabs on, you know, what's going up in my neighborhood. Some of the prices.
And you're
that you
getting
might
a new crib, right?
We are. Well, we're building, so we're not actually buying a new house, so we weren't really looking. But yeah, I mean, it was actually, I don't think it was Zillow where my wife found the lot, but the point is we have to do some comparison shopping to see, you know, what other homes in our neighborhood, what other homes in our city and our region are going for. And a lot of that is just done online.
We heard that before in the stock brokerage business, right, that Charles Schwab and E-Trade were going to put all the financial advisors out of business, and it didn't happen. What it really was is it became a tool. And I think that's what's going to happen here. I do think there's a bunch of, you know, tertiary agents out there that are part-timers that might get washed out. But I think, like in the financial advising world, you're going to have the really good realtors do more business and use this as a tool. I think that's just part of it. And I think that's what AI is really trying to do. It's trying to help people get forward. Now, of course, there's people who go, the robots are going to take over the world. But I think it's going to help the industry. It's not going to kill the industry, but it's certainly going to push down 6% commissions.
I'm sort of in that middle road about AI taking, you know, there are some who are so bullish on AI that they say, well, you know, a full 50% of the workforce is going to be replaced. I'm not quite there yet, but I do think that there is going to be a big change. Yes, you're still going to need realtors.
They're coming for Sarah Connors, or what's going on, DOD?
No, what I believe they're coming for is, ironically enough, coders. I think the physical writing of code is something that's going to be almost entirely done by artificial intelligence. I think you're going to see search engines replaced by artificial intelligence. Like, think Siri, which has been sort of ubiquitous for iPhones for, what, 6-7 years now, something like that. Mm-hmm. But imagine that just kind of everywhere. I think it's going to dramatically cut down on the number of media jobs, because you can have artificial intelligence writing stories, potentially writing opinion pieces with minimal human editing. I mean,
opinion pieces that pass for news.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they can do that too, is just as easily as a human can.
Right.
So,
but here's the good news. I do think that there's going to be some benefits, and I'm trying to find the silver lining here, and not that that robots will kill the world, but it's going to help healthcare. It's going to help green tech, right, which is energy, and it's going to help fintech, which is financial services technology. And I think all three of those industries, if you're telling your son right now, what are you going to think about when, you know, in a couple of years when he's moving on out of high school, what can you get into? I think all three of these areas are going to participate and benefit significantly from all of the data and the intelligence that's coming out. So healthcare, green tech, and fintech, in my opinion, are all going to benefit.
Well, and not only that, I mean, what were people saying 30 years ago when the internet was a new thing? Largely the same thing. Well, this is going to take so many jobs and everything's going to be on the internet, and what's going to happen in 30 years? Well, the internet, and then again, we had a related revolution, the smartphone revolution, about, I would say, 2007 to about 2014, where everybody was getting smartphones. They created entirely new industries, right? And I have no doubt that artificial intelligence is going to do much the same. I mean, just look at a classic example is the success, the biggest winner of the AI race certainly isn't Google, which had to shut down its woke AI. It's NVIDIA. I mean, it's the companies that are doing jobs, making the infrastructure, making AI possible. Those are going to be the biggest growth companies, because clearly there's going to be one company that I think dominates AI. Everybody's going to have AI, but there's going to be one, and nobody's quite sure which one it's going to be. That's going to be like the Google or the Amazon of AI. But as you said, all of the related infrastructure that is going to be necessary that we're already starting to see, that's where a lot of the money is going to be made. And that's where a lot of these new cottage industries are going to sort of prop up.
Yep. You know, I joked about the Sarah Connors, but when the Terminator came out in, you know, the whole Skynet thing, you know how long ago that was? Take a guess.
40 years ago.
40 years ago this year. Can you believe that? 1984. Yep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how long we've been talking about this. And, of course, that's going to be out there, and technology is going to help. But a lot of things to pay attention to this week. That's one of them. The second story, of course, is the Federal Reserve is meeting this week, and that is the absolute cross-section of economics and politics. The Federal Reserve not expected to make a move. We're recording this on Monday, but even June is going to come into question right now because of, you know, have they really wrung out all of the inflation? Of course, and if you go to the grocery store, you can see that's not the case. And that's where politics is going to come into play, too, because Trump is saying if he wins, he's going to replace Chairman Powell. And on the other side, Mr. Biden is having a heck of a time because in food inflation up 25%. And that, by the way, if they slow down inflation, all they're doing is slowing down the price increase. It's not going back to where it was. You know, so people are going to Costco and buying, you know, a gallon of Miracle Whip. I mean, that, you know, does that really save any money, really, at the end of the day? So that is what's happening, and that's why people feel this misery index that's out there, and that's where politics comes into play.
And I guess the question has to be, are we ever going to see those rate cuts? I mean, we were told that we would have, what, six?
We weren't told that. That's what the market was saying. They were saying six. The Fed was saying three, right? So there was already a disconnect. The market was looking forward. That's a really key point. The market looks forward 6 to 9 months. The Fed looks backwards at data, right? So what is the market thinking? They're thinking that we're going to have positive GDP for sure for the rest of the year. That's the expectation out of the markets. What does the Federal Reserve expect? They better think about, you know, not moving rates until they wring out some inflation. How are they going to do that in front of an election? If they don't cut rates in front of the election, you're going to have a lot of talk. And if they do cut rates, of course, that's going to not make Mr. Trump too happy either. So, yeah, they're in a conundrum.
Well, and it's not only that, it's that, as you said, prices aren't coming down, right? The rate of inflation
can still
rise at 2%, right? We're still paying astronomical amounts to go out for lunch or
up 25%.
Did you celebrate St. Patrick's Day on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm so sorry, Mr. O'Donnell, but I was at the high school basketball tournament all weekend, and I had enough. I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't drink anymore. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. That's fair enough. I'll tell you what. It was shocking. You get the bill. I took my wife and two of my kids out for dinner. This would have been last week. And it was a Wednesday or something. We went to a sushi place that we like. For four of us, it was $110.
Wow.
$110.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think I got a plum wine. So that was the only alcohol that was on the tab. And it's incredible how much these things are costing. I mean, food is just the most obvious example because you see it, you know, the price is right there. Grocery bills are up just, boy, what, 30%?
Yep.
I don't believe for a second that food prices are only up 10,
15%. No, they're up 25% over the last 4 years, for sure.
Okay, it is, yeah, 25%. I actually think it's higher than that.
Yep. Do you see the shrinkflation happening, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
shrinkflation is a very real thing.
For sure it's real.
1,000%. You know, everybody's making fun of Biden for talking about this, you know, blaming Big Snicker for ruining the nation's economy and corporate greed. It's actually not that. Inflation, which was caused by Biden's inflationary policies at the very outset of his term.
Mm-hmm.
Right. His fiscal policies were inflationary in the extreme. You've got a recovering economy.
People and by the way, jump in, but you remember Larry Summers? And whenever he was talking about it, which was he's a lefty economist, and he said these policies will undoubtedly create inflation, and everyone scoffed at it. But you and I were talking about this 4 years ago, and we said, if Larry Summers is saying it, you better pay attention.
Well, and did you hear just a couple of days ago, Janet Yellen came out and said, well, I'm sorry I called inflation transitory. Mm-hmm. We should have known it would have been. Well, everybody knew it was going to be around. All right? You're paying people not to work, which was causing a massive supply chain problem at the exact moment people need to go back to work. And you're handing them thousands of dollars. At the same time, the pledged goal of candidate Biden was to stop American oil production. What do you think is going to happen when all of a sudden production costs are massive because companies essentially have to bribe people with huge salary increases just to get them off the couch? What do you think is going to happen? And that necessitated, because you can't raise prices anymore. At some point, the Snickers bar, you take a look at the Snickers bar when it's $7.25. That's asinine. I'm not going to buy a Snickers
bar. Is it really?
Bar. No, I don't know how much a Snickers bar is. Probably like $3-4, though.
Right.
Snickers bar.
I don't know.
My producer, Dave.
I might have to
Michael
go to Walgreens and go pick up a Snickers bar this afternoon.
Yeah,
because I'm turning into Bob De Niro or something. I don't know. You remember those guys? You're somebody else. But yeah, we're gonna have to pay attention to that. And by the way, the last thing I did want to get to is they're trying to pass a tax bill, and if it doesn't get passed, it's now or never for this thing.
Yeah.
And if they don't get it through now, they may not get it all together, and that means there'll be more money coming into the economy, which will actually increase GDP. So the Fed is really in a tough spot. And so we're going to have to watch that over the next several months. And it has a direct effect, of course, on people's pocketbooks. And as you know better than anybody, people vote their pocketbook. So pay attention. The cross-section of economics and politics will be center stage for the next 6 months.
Yeah, everything is going to have the backdrop of politics. It always does in an election year. That's just sort of the nature of the beast. Every single move the Fed makes, every single move that, well, and we got to talk about the Justice Department and various local jurisdictions. We're going to play a huge role in this election with the prosecutions of Donald Trump. We're already seeing some of the ramifications that he's apparently unable to file an appeal bond in order to appeal what I believe to be a truly ridiculous $456 million fraud verdict.
And by the way, just one more thing before we run out of time.
Yeah.
Bloodbath. We got to get the bloodbath, right?
Oh, bloodbath.
Because
it's
economics and politics, right?
This is the bloodbath hoax. I've been calling it the very fine bloodbath hoax because it's reminiscent of the Trump very fine people, where he did not call the Nazis in Charlottesville very fine people. He did not say there will be blood in the streets if he loses. He was clearly talking about electric vehicles and the American economy more generally.
Bunch of troglodytes.
Anyway, I did call conservatives troglodytes who dared to actually care about the truth of what the man says instead of just hearing the media's abject lies.
90 episodes, pal. Nice job. This is not.
Are we really at?
Yeah,
this
we're
is
cranking.
Episode number 90.
We're having so much fun.
Fantastic.
We didn't even know it. Yep.
No, I didn't. This is wow. Great milestone. Congratulations to you, buddy. Be sure to head to annexwealth.com. Get a review of your portfolio, a wealth metric for Dave Spano. I'm Dan O'Donnell. Thanks for listening to the 90th episode of The Difference.
Annex Wealth Management is a registered investment advisor. For more information about our firm, please visit annexwealth.com. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and is subject to change without notice. Opinions expressed are those of the participants and don't necessarily reflect those of Annex Wealth Management, its producers, hosts, or guests. The host of this podcast is compensated for his endorsement of Annex Wealth Management. Information presented should not be considered as tax, legal, or investment advice, or recommendation or solicitation for the sale of any product or strategy. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from qualified professionals to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Investments involve risks. Neither Annex Wealth Management nor its podcast participants shall be liable for losses resulting from decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on this podcast.